On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the weekend in South Carolina athletics, including a sweep of Clemson. I go over women's basketball and their recent win against Alabama and preview their game against Kentucky. And then I also discuss the men's basketball loss to Tennessee and what that means for the future of the program. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 41 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope that everyone out there had a absolutely lovely weekend, whether you were just chilling or turning up. I hope you had a lovely weekend. And it was a big weekend in the sports world. Maybe not the collegiate sports world, but international sports world as the Olympics opened up. And I know that the Olympics, I don't know, feels like they've lost popularity in recent years, and there's numerous things that we can blame for that, and the time change when it's halfway across the world definitely doesn't help things, but I'm an Olympic freak. I am a nut. I am glued to it every time it's on, especially these ones, the Winter Olympics, like curling, speed skating, the ski jump where they literally just jump in the, like, how do you even get into that? Like, at one point in your life are you like, yep, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to go 50 miles an hour down a ski ramp and jump as far as I can. I don't get it. It's the most obscure sport you'll ever see, and that's why I love it, because it is the only time you see it. It's every 4 years where you just see the most bizarre sports, and you root for Norwegians and Finlands, and you hope that we kick their ass, and then you're done, and it's fun. So I hope you had a good time watching the Olympics, if that's what you're into. All right, so what we're going to do on this episode is I'm going to review the weekend all around South Carolina athletics. There were some really fun updates outside of the major sports, and then we're going to really drill into the results from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, from basketball on the women's side and the men's side. But as we all know, as is customary now, we have our bit of South Carolina fact/trivia. It is trivia this time, so here we go. The South Carolina softball team opened and closed the 2019 and 2020 seasons ranked in the NFCA poll. When was the last time the Gamecocks can make this claim? Dun-dun. 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 That's my Who Wants to Be a Millionaire voice, or sound, rather. It was the 2002 seasons, so it had been a while for South Carolina softball. That's an accomplishment. Hopefully that keeps up. I mean, I know that's technically 2 years ago at this point, but hey. That would be nice to see any Gamecock athletics be ranked, have good season. And it's honestly insane to say that baseball, softball, that's here, basically. That's in a week or so. So it's going to be so much fun to be covering all those sports. I'm going to try my best to get some sort of a SparkNotes version out there, whether it's just a preview before the first series or maybe a special episode, so we know who to look for. Who's hot? Who's coming up? Who's experienced? Who is the team going to lead on for this baseball season? Because last year, they had a nice year. And I think a lot of people and a lot of experts, writers, whatever, are actually expecting the Carolina Gamecocks to be very solid. And as it should be, right? I mean, we are a baseball-rich program history. That's a weird way of saying that we have a good baseball program historically. Founders Park is beautiful. Mark Kingston is a solid manager. He hasn't, you know, really seen the results consistently since he's been here, but last year we did see that. So hopefully we can put it all together this year and go past the regionals. That would be really fun to see. But we will see how that goes and as that season is here. But with that being said, let's take a look at this past weekend in Carolina athletics, starting with our track and field teams at the Dr. Sander Invitational. Shout out Dr. Sander. Must have been very fast. The men's team finished fifth, but the women's team finished second. Nice. So in the vein of Olympics and golds, like, nothing wrong with silver, baby. Second place. Good job. But both teams finishing in the top five, that is an accomplishment. And we did give a little shout-out the other day that our track and field team has been solid for years, and it was cool to see this pop up on my feed. So shout-out to the track and field team. And then big, big-time result here from men's tennis, beating Clemson 7-0. 7-0 sweep. Beat Clemson. Beat that team from the upstate. Anytime we can do that, it should be celebrated. It should be lauded, let alone a 7-0 smackdown. Just totally aced them. Boom. Tennis pun. And then women's tennis, unfortunately, they were on the opposite side of things, losing to Wake Forest 4-3. So close, hard-fought match. So hopefully we'll get them next time, girls. But if y'all do see any cool updates, you want to give me shout-outs to whatever team you follow or even a part of, please DM me. I want to give love to as many teams as we can for Carolina Athletics outside of the major sports too, especially. So those are some ones that really caught my eye, but always, always open to more and other suggestions. But now going to the women's basketball side of things here, Thursday night, they stomped Alabama 83-51. The last episode I was recording during that game, I predicted a curb stomping, and I think we got a curb stomping. And of course, some player highlights for you here. Aaliyah Boston, 20 points and 10 rebounds. Zaya Cook with 14 points and 3 rebounds. Really great to see Zaya have a nice game there. And then Carmilla Cardoza with 8 points and 9 rebounds. So almost on that double-double train, but the double-double streak and the double-double monster that is Aaliyah Boston just continues to roll on. It is so super impressive. And this game was nice because it was one of those deals where we took a commanding lead early, held on. The fourth quarter was a little sluggish, but we were rotating different players in. So as they said in one of the games earlier, this is an interesting time of year for our women's team in the sense of that we are actually being able to expand our bench because we are beating some of these in-conference teams so handedly, and I think that that can pay some serious dividends come tournament time. Now, the women's next game is 7 p.m. against Kentucky at Kentucky, so in Lexington. Kentucky on the year, meh, really not so great, really not so great. So you're looking at 9-10 overall, 2-7 in the SEC, and hoping for more of what we saw from that Alabama game in the sense of being able to rotate different players in and being able to continue to expand our bench, rest our starters, but get people who are lower on the bench some key playing time because, again, can help for the tournament run should you have a long, deep game, maybe an OT game, or someone gets into foul trouble. You never know when that extra experience can help. And then my crow to the game here, really in that same vein, is take control of the game early and don't look back. So not only do we have to do that to continue to expand our bench, but with March around the corner, I feel that we really need to continue to instill this killer mentality. You don't want to play with your food, so to speak. You don't want to look at a team that you should beat handedly, a team that's 2-7 in the SEC, and let them creep back in. Or you don't want to let them have some hope. We saw that against Florida. That game was really out of hand, but we didn't quite put the nail in the coffin. And then when you play these teams in a tournament-style game in March, a little bit of hope can go a long way. And, you know, you don't want to have that happen. You want to be able to control your destiny and really roll through all those games. So really excited to see them back on the hardwood, though. That's about a week in between games. So last time they had a nice break, they dominated. So hopefully they can dominate against Kentucky and really keep that thing rolling. And now moving over to the men's side of things, where buckle up. All right, buckle up, people. So men's basketball here, Saturday afternoon, big game at home against Tennessee, looking to stop a little bit of a losing trend, trying to get a big upset against a ranked team in conference, and we ended up taking the L 81-57. Oh, wow. Just even looking at that. I mean, at the half, it was pretty close. It was a pretty competitive first half, little back and forth, grinding, gritty, that type of game that I thought we had to play in order to hang in there. 33-29 at the half, but then the complete opposite of what we had seen with these second half heroics. I mean, we kind of saw it against Mississippi State too, but outscored 48-28 in the second half. And the game was just out of hand early, and it just got progressively uglier. I mean, before I jump into things here, I do want to go over some player highlights. Some of them are honestly lowlights, but Devin Carter and Eric Stevenson, both with 13 points, leading the way. Devin Carter, I know he's super young. He's had up and down season, but early in this game especially, he was not willing to back down from anybody. He attacks the paint. He's not afraid of contact. I even tweeted at Rothstein. I said, Devin Carter, gladiator of the hardwood. Tough thing to tweet during an L, during a blowout L, but the kid really battles and really has that fight. So hopefully he can be a mainstay for this program whenever that may come, where he can really be that true leader and guy we can turn to take over games. He's not quite there yet, but you can see that he has that instinct. James Reese, disappointing game with 5 points. And then something I wanted to bring up, you had Jermaine Cousinard with 2 points, Keyshawn Bryant with 4 points, but Coos played 12 minutes and Bryant played 13. Bryant's a starter. Like, what is that? That to me doesn't make any sense. These are your senior upperclassmen leaders, these guys who, when they get rolling, the team tends to follow them. And I didn't see an explanation about this. I didn't even see this really until the day after. But that needs to be talked about. That needs to be explained. And Frank Martin needs to answer to that. I mean, we've seen him do things where, like earlier in the year, he didn't play Cousinard. He said he has to learn how to be a leader, learn how to mentally handle his position. Like, if you're trying to teach a lesson by not starting or not playing, rather, your leaders and your upperclassmen guys, not playing them essentially for the game to prove a point, my opinion, that is just not the way to do that. That is not a way to, A, teach that lesson, but B, like, you're here to win games. You're at home. You're getting blown out. That just does not make any sense to me. So that needs to be talked about. I hope we can get an answer to that. And then, look, I mean, we're going to dive into this thing. So that is an embarrassing loss. Absolutely embarrassing. Essentially beat by 30 points at home. The crowd was solid. You know, they were into it, especially in that first half. But we're not going to look to the crowd and say, well, you know, it was a little light, so maybe it wasn't the best fan support, and that was the reason why you got cooked. No. Like, this was a moment to do something, to show up. You had to have this game because now we're going to get into a minute, but you're facing Kentucky, and that nice 3-game win streak you had in conference is now about to be kaput. It's about to be completely negated. Frank Martin just straight up has not been able to put together a full game of basketball. It's either the first half is terrible, and then the second half we turn it on and have this great run, or you're hanging in there and you go all out in the first half. You're only down by 4 points to the 22nd ranked team in the country, but then you get absolutely destroyed in the second half. Unacceptable. You just can't do that consistently. Every now and then, it happens, right? Especially if you're not an elite team, it happens. You're going to get blown out every now and then. But this was an opportunity to do the exact opposite, right? We all knew it was a long shot. We all knew that it was going to be a big uphill road to actually get that upset win. But at least make it competitive. At least have hope. At least have pride, right? James Reese with 5 points. Jermaine Cousinard played 12 minutes. What? Like, what are we doing here? The team just seemed disjointed. Every shot seemed rushed. They were not distributing the ball. Sloppy. And I was a little hesitant to directly say it earlier in the year. And I said that the team was at a crossroads, right at the beginning of SEC play, that they were at a crossroad, that if they kept going down and playing inconsistent and losing, that road went down with needing new leadership. And then the other road was essentially salvage a good second half of the year, and then maybe you have something and you can build off of that. And then we went on that 3-game win streak, and a lot of that the heat maybe got turned down a little bit, and now it's fully back up. And I am sad to say it, but I think the basketball team needs new leadership. I think we have run its course with Frank Martin. Frank Martin is a terrific human being. He's a good teacher. He's a good mentor. He brought the program to the highest of highs that honestly, maybe the basketball program on the men's side will ever reach, going to that Final Four. And it was incredible. And we'll always thank him for that. Banners fly forever. But right now, from what we've seen essentially since that run for the last 5 years, is nothing. Is inconsistent play, no tournament appearances, losing on big in-state talent, not being able to put a consistent product on the floor, not even an exciting program, like not an exciting product. Frank has never really been that offensive guy, and when the other team is able to score points and our defense can't slow them down, that's it. It's game over. He hasn't been able to adjust to that. And I don't say this with pleasure. Like, I don't want to see turnover in our athletics department. I don't like to see instability. And I think a lot of fans will agree where you do like Frank Martin as a person. And you can see that he's a good part of he's a good face for the University of South Carolina. But at some point, you're hired to do a job. You're hired to win basketball games. The SEC has caught up with the rest of the country as far as producing good basketball programs. We have not been able to keep up with that. We might have been a little bit ahead of the curve with investing in that by hiring Frank, but now with guys like Bruce Pearl, Musselman, et cetera, we're behind the eight ball. And it brings me no pleasure to say this, but I think it's time for Frank to go. And I think it should be one of those mutual decisions where Frank decides to step down. I would love if he stays on as part of an ambassador to the university, an ambassador to the athletics program, someone who can handle alumni relations, boosters, things like that. I think no one would complain about that. He would be nice to stay in Columbia. It'd be nice to see him do that. Maybe he himself would like that because maybe his health isn't the best. Maybe he needs to take a season or two away from the game of basketball because right now his product is stale. And I know he has his unique style, but I just really don't think many of today's players, the top players, really like that. I think there's good, hard coaching, and he definitely toes that line. But I don't know. This was a game where I was like, okay, like we only have a handful of games left. I think we have 8 games left. We've seen enough. We've seen it year after year. And you can't just go 2 games you win. You're like, oh, Frank's good. And then 2 games you lose. And you're like, oh, no, he needs to go. That's instability. It just shows that you can't be so hot and cold. So it brings me no pleasure to say, but I do think that come the end of the season, barring a miracle run, I do think it is time to move on from Frank. And we'll see. I would like to see him stay with the university. But official Cox Talking Gamecock stance, I do think we need new leadership. But looking to the more immediate future, Tuesday night at home, the men's team plays Kentucky. And this is just what I was saying because it doesn't get any easier for the team. Kentucky is ranked 5th. They are 19-4 overall, 8-2 in the SEC. They average 81 points per game while allowing only 64 per game. So they are just beating teams by a healthy margin. Oscar Tshiebwe, their junior forward, he is averaging 15 points and 15 rebounds. He is not your usual Calipari freshman phenom. He's a junior, like I just said, by far having his best year of his college career. And maybe Kentucky might have had some squeaker games, some OT close games lately. They're still having an incredible, great year. They are very consistent, as we know, but this year especially, they seem to be rolling. My crow to the game here, I mean, it's tough to even say. I really was having a hard time come up with this after seeing what we just saw and seeing the ups and downs that we've had. So once again, crow to the game, show consistency from half to half. We showed that we can do it in a half against Tennessee, right, and Mississippi State. But then there was a bad half. So if you were able to do a full game, play a full game, maybe we can do some fun things. And my second crow to the game is just really dig deep. And this is everybody. coaches, players, dig deep and show us, the fans, but really show yourselves as a team. Show us something else. Show us a new level. Hopefully, we can see something and we can see some fight and we can see this for a full game. It's at home. You never know what can happen. But right now, I just want to see fight and a good, hard game. Have some pride. And let's go, Cox. But with that, y'all, that concludes this episode. Please, if you could, follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecox, so just my last name, Gamecox. Instagram is the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And if you could, like, subscribe, and leave a review for the pod wherever you are listening, please. I appreciate that. And with that, go, Cox.